They live in greater villages, which are similar to those you have in your oriental regions. A second race on this world does not live in solid houses. It is nomadic and builds huts from plants and bushes. You will be able to see this world from close up, for Samjace will bring you there in her beam ship. But look first towards this giant sun there in front. It has already declined in force, and will die away after some millenniums. The moon, which you see there, is about 4 times as large as the Earth moon. After some 3,200 years, it will rush into that giant sun, because the three cosmic bodies work slowly towards one another. Mia, and what will happen to the human beings? Samjace. By then they will have developed a useful for them technology, by which they will then have the possibility of escaping from their world. Mia, and if this does not happen? Samjace, it could be. If this were prevented by something, then help from outside would be brought in. This is an obligation under cosmic law. Mia, that is reassuring. But how is it now? Can we talk to the human beings down there? Duh, this, by regret, will be impossible, nor on any of the worlds which we will visit in the next few hours. It is everywhere there suited, that we not be recognized, thus we have to hide ourselves with our protective screens. We are only allowed to be seen, where the concerned evolution allows this. The trip to the surface lasted only a few minutes, and then they returned to the great spacer where Ta was already preparing for the next hyperleap. Again it was made in a short time. Ta, here we are. In the galaxy of Nepan. What you see here is the system of Lesser. You see the three big formations. The Ta over there, which stand close together, are two sister planets of immense size. The little farther in the distance, still great formation, is the giant moon of the sister worlds. It is nearly 520 times greater than the Earth. Mere fantastic. Samjace, that is absolutely normal. Only for the Earth human being and other non-space traveling races do these concerns seem to be monstrous and fantastic, as you call it. Your scientists cannot imagine such giant worlds, even in their boldest. The truth surpasses their ability to conceive. Mir, I don't doubt what you say. Samjace, come now, on these worlds also, we will undertake a short flight. One of the lesser worlds is inhabited by human forms of life. After the next hyperleap, Ta, this, here above us is an oxygen world in similar size to your Earth. Also the atmosphere has similar values, while the surface of the planet offers only a certain similarity to your wastes, and in many respects is more similar to the planet Venus from your system. We are still in the system Lesser, which is very extensive and must be crossed in hyperleaps. The planet has quite primitive plant and animal life, but it was in earlier times more populated. A cosmic event destroyed all and reduced it to stone for millions of years. For some millenniums now, the conditions are changing again and new life is developing itself. As you are able to see from here, there are different colors shining. These are waste, water and forest regions. These desert-like landscapes consist partly of massive rock, mountains, and very fried and brittle stones which slowly fall to sand again, and then, in the course of time, will change into earth. The mountains themselves are no taller than 2,000 meters, and they then, in the course of time, will change into earth. The mountains themselves are no taller than 2,000 meters, and they look very similar to the mountains of your Venus. But you will see this for yourself when you are there with Samjace. Again the excursion took only a short time, and they returned and reboarded the mothership. Several more of the now becoming familiar hyperleaps were made, and the great variety and divergence of creation boggled Mia's mind. The 35th contact took place at 1914 on Tuesday the 16th of September, 75, during which Mia queried, "Mia, I am interested if there exists in the universe, other worlds and creatures, who accord to Earth levels now. Duh, many parallels can be found. Thus also worlds are in existence which are very similar to Earth, and on which are living also human forms in nearly the same development state as the Earthman enjoys. Such a world can be found in the galaxy Aratum, in the system Nib, and the world is called Kartag. Mia, this I do consider interesting, yet with these details I can do nothing. It is all a Spanish village to me. Cartag is a world where the human beings war against one another. Their time is one of the use of atomic sciences. Mia, and why is this not prevented by you? It is not at our disposal to interfere there, because that system is under the control of a highly developed form of life, which troubles itself for the prevention of catastrophe. Cartagian life is at an important point of change in their evolution, and near the end of their atomic age. They still destroy one another with atom bombs, but this will not last for long. They will agree with the controlling intelligences. Mia, then they are some further developed than the Earth human? That is correct. They walk their last steps of unreason. Mia, that is pleasing. Certainly, but still they have to go the way of their evolution, and interferences into this from outside are advised in few cases. Mia, does this mean, by this non-interference of more advanced beings who have means at their disposal, that thousands of forms of life will be killed, in this case human forms? Yes, that is it, certainly. Interference can only be performed if recognizable catastrophe of great extraplanetary extent announce themselves. Mia, then this means, that the inhabitants of a world, this world, can be completely destroyed, if the greater system is not menaced? You see the facts well. Each creature must take its own path of evolution, even if this includes self-destruction. Mia, this sees somehow rough, and even barbarous. But it is conceivable to me, for it is a law which is well established in nature. What degenerates negatively is destroyed so that it cannot menace the better forms. That is right. You know the laws very well. Only by the observance of the laws can life proceed. It is wrong when degenerate life is maintained in such form that it becomes still worse. An elimination represents only the right observance of the laws of life. Nevertheless, they will have to learn it, sooner than the Earth human expects. But I know as well that much pain is connected to the process. We shall now transmit to the world of Cartag, for you shall get acquainted with it. After the Hyperleap, what you see there is Cartag. Go now with Semjaze, she will show you the world from closer. Over Cartag with Semjaze. Mia, you have told me that the inhabitants of this world would be a bit more developed than Earth humans. But I don't see any airplanes or similar. If they have atomic bombs, how do they deliver them? Semjaze, they have flight machines, but they are not like your Earth airplanes, for they are already more like beam ships. They also do not drop their deadly weapons from out of their flying machines, but shoot them up in rockets, and then guide them back down onto their enemy. The rockets are similar to those you use on Earth for launching satellites, only their technologies and methods of propulsion are different from those of Earth. Their atomic missiles are very dangerous and much stronger than those you have on Earth. The time is up. Mia, so we may go. Where do we jump to now? Semjaze, we will go to the galaxy of Berberas, to the world of Neba there, in the system of Kras. Notes. UFO researchers are continually turning up UFO contacts where punctuality in time and a need to adhere to a predetermined time schedule is stipulated. This is mentioned in a great variety of cases taking place all over the world, and may signify a need for a certain kind of order throughout the cosmos. The term galaxy as used here may not be exactly as understood in the popular sense, and might even be according to a grouping of stars different from that understood by us. We are not clear on this point. Mia, where is that, and what is interesting there? Semjaze, this has been in earlier times a desired objective of many races capable of space travel. There exist many planets that you would call ancient worlds enlivened by many animal forms. And some of these animals may be very big or of extraordinarily tall growth. They may surpass all standards of similar animals on other worlds. And just this fact attracted many space-traveling races to those. Mia, are there human beings living there also? Semjaze, there are. But not forms of life created on those worlds. On ancient worlds, such as this, human creatures do not yet exist. They rise normally at later times. Back aboard the Great Spacer mothership. Mia, I still have other questions, if the time suffices. One question here concerns our Earth. I often think that, because the weather and the climate seem to be playing. I consider this being in connection with the atomic bombs explosions, that these could be the cause for that, which matter is still contested by the dear science. Am I going right in this, or am I wrong in my assumptions? Duh, you search very thoroughly for all reasons in a matter. Earth's magnetism has been disturbed by the atomic explosions. In this respect, the explosions produced a weak repulsion of the Earth, influencing the rotation by nearly a measurable value. On this means the Earth has also been forced a little out of normal orbit and now slowly searches out its new orbital course. By this act, the Earth scientists have committed a crime against their own planet and all Earth mankind, because the forced changes by these explosions will have a far-reaching effect, of great importance, and can produce catastrophic results. Already the magnetic poles are being displaced increasingly. Thus, today, the magnetic pole is already displaced into the Canadian Ice Sea, while also the South Pole has been dislocated, and moves in the direction of South America. On the time of the third millennium, in about 1,000 years, the migration of the poles will have progressed so far, that the South Pole will be in South America, while the North Pole will have moved to Saudi Arabia. The calculated location of the North Pole in the year 3000, AD, resulted in a location point between Jeddah, on the Red Sea, and Mecca. A much greater danger is presented by the release, in those explosions, of elementary radiations, which still present great riddles to Earth scientists, because they have not conceived their sort of form. Three main factors of Earth life are influenced by the release of these elementary radiations, and are injured. The catastrophic effect after an atomic explosion the size of the Hiroshima bomb lasts for several centuries, and negatively influences all processes of life preservation. The pure atmospheric stratums of the Earth are influenced in a quite catastrophic manner by the release of these elementary radiations, which change electrical energies in great magnitude. This happens in very high frequency ranges, which still are unknown Earth sciences. These energies do deal with the known to you usual electrical energy, but of an electrical radiation energy, which is near the ultraviolet spectrum. This radiation energy mingles itself with the oxygen in the air and generates huge quantities of ozone. This ozone value increases 34-fold a short time after an explosion. These dangerous concentrations destroy in wide surroundings all microorganisms of wide variety, which are of critical importance for the preservation of Earth life. Then a short time after the explosion the ozone values decrease drastically to very low levels. Certain elementary effects penetrate all matter and endure for hundreds of years, during which time they always and continually kill all microorganisms which come near them. One factor in relation to the ozone is this lethal destruction. A further important factor is the effect on the ozone belt which surrounds the Earth and protects it from the ultraviolet radiations from the sun. Those gases are injured in several ways and can no more absorb the ultraviolet rays. MSMJs has already spoken of that in relation to industrial gases. But one thing is not clear to me yet. Natural flashes of the atmospheric lightning also produces ozone. Why does this not destroy the microorganisms? Nature works exactly according to her law. The industrial ozone is generated by different factors than lightning. The lightning cleans while the other pollutes. The healthy ozone belt provided a nature protection for Earth creatures from the strong ultraviolet radiation of the sun, direct irradiation of living creatures by this radiation and further similar radiations from other parts of the universe, would inevitably evoke death for all forms. Nature herself always generates just as much ozone as necessary to guarantee life. Mia, what about the atomic radiations, which from my reckonings must surround the Earth at very great heights? Duh, your reckonings are nearly right, but it does not deal with the actual radiation. As I said, quite special elementary radiations are generated in the explosion. These reach great height and spread themselves around your globe, influencing the different stratums. In your denominations these stratums are very differently named, as for example, the menaced stratum which you call the Van Allen belt. This belt consists especially of caught by the Earth magnetic field electrons and protons, which have a life-important function for Earth's existence. About this I am not yet allowed to give you more information, because from the explanations your scientists could gather much knowledge for their researches, which they could not master. Mere so nothing can be done about this. With the Van Allen belt I can imagine nothing, as little also can I elaborate of the matter with the electrons and protons, but all the same, I am interested in how this belt is structured and built. I mean, what movement does it have? The belt exists at a height of 1,000 km average. The charged particles are in constant movement, and that on spiral courses from pole to pole. Mere so far I understand, but everything else is to me a so-called bohemian village. This unfortunately is physics, and of that I understand just about as much as our technicians and scientists know about your technologies, which is nothing. That is not of great importance to you, for the insides of that existing spiral values of decisively greater and of more important meaning. Mir was given comparative values for the ozone fluctuation after an atomic air explosion. The ET said that a normal ratio under Earth conditions is 500,000 parts of air to 1 part ozone. After an atomic explosion, the ozone immediately increases by 34 values to 28 parts ozone. Shortly after this peak concentration, the ozone level rapidly drops to an extremely low level, which results in ozone holes in the ionosphere, which takes hundreds of years to rebalance normally. Mia, you may be right. If you allow, I want to ask you about some matters respecting contacts. How many contactees exist in the world today? The exact number of real contactees on Earth is presently 17,422, 1,975. They are scattered over all your states and lands. Of that number, only a few percent come to public attention. Many of them are working according to our advice, ETs collectively, at different labors and tasks. In different cases, such persons are also having contacts with us without being informed that we do not belong to Earth. Of all this 17,422 contactees, the number increases continuously, only a few hundred are known publicly. And then came one of those truly remarkable occurrences that have developed so often in this case. Mir asked, Mir, how far outside our solar system is the next inhabited system? And does that world's inhabitants know of our Earth? The answer was astounding. The next inhabited system is around 5 light years away from Earth. Different worlds in that system are inhabited by human forms of life, who differ little from your races. In their development, they are some years in advance of that of Earth human beings, spiritually as well as technologically. They have already achieved space flight in primitive form, and also do visit Earth. Because their cosmic flight capabilities are very limited, they depend on assistance stations. Midway between their world and Earth, they have constructed a space station, which you can see far outside in space there, pointing to the viewing screen. They need such stations because they are still unable to launch their ships over large distances. Also, connected to their space flight now is severe body pain, from which they narcotize themselves for longer journeys in the cosmos. Besides the other races of these worlds, this one race comes often to Earth. This is because their homeworld, which is no greater than Earth herself, suffers from overcrowding, and needs huge quantities of food. For this reason, beings from that planet, called Akkad, come to Earth often, to collect the plants, vegetables, fruits and grains, to nourish their 23 billion population. They are mostly satisfied with taking seeds of fruits, grains, and vegetables, and also plant stocks, to set out on Akkad, to grow there. They collect more usable nourishments on other, less populated, worlds which they also visit often and periodically. In themselves, these forms are of rather peaceful character, and have had to suffer much in the last centuries. Today they live under a dictatorship, as you would call it, by which they have relatively better living conditions. Their great problem is their severe overcrowding, which they could relieve by emigration, but their technologies have not solved space transportation on sufficient scale to be of help. Note: remarkably, when we were working on the big book, UFO Abduction at Mirassol with Dr. Walter K. Baller down in Brazil, we discovered that he had investigated a UFO abduction case in Sarandi, in southern Brazil, where Arthur Blitt, the abductee, was taken to a superpopulated planet those ETs called Eckart. In German the same phonetics would be spelled Eckart. We obtained permission to translate that story of Blitz's 8-day stay on that planet in a book we have titled UFO Contact from Planet Eckart. All the indications are that superpopulated planet is a very near neighbor of our own sun. A very remarkable coincidence indeed. Mia, that is a lot. But do other creatures of that system also come to Earth, and why don't they assist that overpopulated planet? The others come there, and also to Earth, but this occurs rather seldom. The reason they do not assist the overpopulated race is that these creatures have not proceeded far enough in their development or their improvement to offer them greater technical and spiritual help. These humans are still too much caught up in the material and worldly things, and are not allowed access to greater power. Mia, I see. Again, the law of evolution. Oh yes, I still have one more question. How do you see the matter of your public appearance on Earth? When will you land officially and present yourselves to the people of Earth? This is not provided for still a very long time, as well with others too. On the contrary, nearly all our extraterrestrials will retire from your planet, if certain circumstances come up. This will be when an until now unknown to us human race from the cosmos will start to visit Earth. Our reckoning and probability indicate this occurring before the year 2000, or a short time before, if unanticipated factors before then do not put this enterprise in question. If these negative factors do not develop, then man will, in this coming time, around 2000, first officially meet with human beings from other worlds. But no danger from these human-like forms will menace you, because they will be peaceful and harmless. Their culture and their spiritual estate will be very much superior to your own, and so they will not just land on Earth unexpected. They will announce themselves to you first by radio and television, and prepare Earthmen for their arrival, and will then land with one of their egg-shaped ships, which will be used by 8 to 12 other forms of life. Mia, this is very interesting, but where will they land? It will assuredly be in America. Mia, always this America. Why so? That is the way it is, because they have the best communication means. The population of that country is more resilient in connection with the clearing up of information about extraterrestrial forms of life and their existence, and may be more prepared to overcome too large a panic at the first official meetings. Mia, but surely there are other possibilities besides America, are there not? Surely, there are. But I only explain to you what our probability calculations have shown. It will be of revolutionary importance if this landing can be successfully performed, which is still really dependent on the negative factors which could develop. In any case, a plan is not fixed, whether the occurrences will happen this way, because I do not take this information from a view into the future, but from probability calculations. Mia, so this is not clearly fixed. Can you tell me from where these human beings will come? I'm not allowed to give information officially. It is connected to the development of the forms of life there on Earth. Mia, I understand. With this 35th contact we have come full circle back to the earliest statements by Sam Jays with reference to the coarse particle damage to our ionosphere by the chlorofluorocarbons and brom gases, and her urging of Mia to call this to the attention of the world scientists before it was too late. Now she has explained the even greater damage to our ionosphere by the fine particle forces released in every atomic fission-fusion reaction, including the underground atomic tests, and even atomic power plant normal operations. This is exactly what other extraterrestrial Pleiadian UFOnauts told their witness in Street Cloud, Minnesota, using a slightly different phrasing. Edward Mia was given this information in 1976, and I have her copies of these contact notes in my possession since 1977. The witness in Street Cloud was given her similar information earlier, but was only allowed to recall it in 1985 when he was reawakened to his own contacts. The witness in Minnesota did not release anything on this until 1986, and then it was before he knew anything about the mere contacts in Switzerland. It seems we had been warned in plenty of time to avoid the disaster we have created for ourselves, but we have persistently refused to heed the warnings, until it may now be too late for us all. Where have our great experts been all this time? Chapter 7 Other Pleiadian UFOnauts. When I started my investigation of the Pleiadian UFO contacts in Switzerland in late 1976, they had already been going on for over a year and a half, kept in relative secrecy within a closed group, and very little of the true nature of the contacts was getting out. Up to that time I had never heard of UFO contacts from the Pleiades before, and the whole idea was fascinating and very exotic, and quite possibly not even true, at least that is what I thought then. For a time I thought these Pleiadian contacts originated with Edouard Meyer on the 28th of January 1975, their first contact with him. When I got on scene and began working directly with Meyer and the other witnesses there, I discovered that these same UFOnauts had been using another contactee before Meyer, one M. Rashid, a priest in Jerusalem. Then the contact notes being kept by the Swiss group showed that Meyer had been told that this group had at least two other active contacts with Earth humans going on at the same time. They had told him that theirs was not the only inhabited planet in the Pleiades, a comparatively young star group, and that other similar humans from some of those other planets were space travelers, and that yes, some of them were even contacting Earth. They told him that their group had contact operations going on in the Orient and in the western part of North America but would not reveal any more, saying that it had nothing to do with their relations with Meyer. When I released my first article on the Swiss case in 1977, I was amazed at the amount of relevant information it stirred up. Over the next 3 years my attention was called to several other UFO contactee cases where the UFOnauts said they came from the Pleiades. The first was the discovery that a well-known Argentinian UFO researcher, Fabio Zerpa of Buenos Aires, was investigating a case involving Pleiadian contacts with engineer Enrique Rincon in Bogotá, Colombia. This was also a profound series of ongoing contacts that began in November of 1973, and was still going on. He thought his was the only such case too. Then in 1979, a correspondent who had read my magazine article, called my attention to another contactee case involving Pleiadian extraterrestrials who were visiting one Señor Guillermo Torres of Hacienda Las Cruces, and had been doing so since 1974. These Pleiadian ETs were also entirely human as with the ones visiting the Colombian, but these contacts were centered near El Tocuyo on the north coast of Venezuela. These ET visits and contacts were still going on too, and hundreds of pages of notes and technical dialogue had been recorded. This was also kept highly confidential with a small select group of participants who were not letting the story out. Then in 1983, Lou Farish of the UFO News Clipping Service sent me some notes on another Pleiadian contactee case that began in July of 1974. And was also still going on. It involved contactee Charles A. Silva, who was repeatedly met by an extraterrestrial human woman who said he could call her Ramatis, and that she and other UFOnauts associated with her came here from their home planet in the Pleiades. Those contacts were taking place in southern Peru, and they also are still going on up to this time. Silva described these contacts in a 411-page book privately published, which got little distribution. Another correspondent who had purchased a copy of our preliminary report of investigation on the Swiss case, wrote me and gave me the address of another contactee whose extraterrestrial visitor told him he came from the Pleiades, and more specifically the Alcyone system. His experiences began with UFO sightings that led up to the later face-to-face contact, and long discussions after De La Maduva's was prepared for telepathic communication.